welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is called Red Bandanas, an adaptation of an Irish folktale written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Sabrina and Buddy the Raccoon and their family in Orangeville, Ontario, Canada, Lily and Oliver Baker and their family in Los Angeles, Nigel and Stella and their family in Alexandria, Virginia, Willem, Peter, and Sean Van Halloween and their family in Prebbleton, New Zealand, Georgia and Jacob and their family in Toronto, and Noah Presperin and his family in Chicago, Illinois. Thank you so much, Noah, Jacob, Georgia, Sean, Peter, Willem, Stella, Nigel, Oliver, Lily, Buddy the Raccoon, and Sabrina. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie Zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. Red Bandanas. Once upon a time, a boy named Barry decided he was going to catch a leprechaun. This is the story of how he succeeded and of how he failed. It all started when Barry's uncle Darren visited from Ireland. He sat with Barry and told him all kinds of stories. They were the folktales of the old country, full of pukas and giants and fairies and leprechauns. Barry wasn't a very imaginative boy, and most of the magic of the stories was lost on him. Except, of course, for the stories about gold. Barry would pepper his uncle with questions long after his parents had told him to give it a rest. For his part, Uncle Darren was happy to answer, always with a laughing gleam in his eyes. "So how much gold do leprechauns have?" Barry would ask, eyes wide and greedy.
"More gold than you could fit in this whole house," Darren would say. "More gold than you could ever spend."
"Oh, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get all the gold."
Uncle Darren laughed.
"Lots have tried, but leprechauns are a tricky sort. They're almost impossible to catch. And even if you do catch them, you have to keep them close because...
"Because what? What do you do?" Barry asked with rapt attention.
"Oh, I'd tell you, boy, but I'm awful thirsty," Uncle Darren would reply, looking sadly into his empty mug.
"Well, I'll get you a drink," Barry said, leaping to fill his uncle's glass. When it was topped off, Barry took a sip and then sighed contentedly.
"Ah, where were we?"
"The leprechauns. You were going to tell me how to keep one."
"Oh, that's right, that's right. So you have to keep your eyes on them, because if you look away, they'll disappear."
"No way!"
"Oh, yes way. They'll disappear, it's true. But if you keep your eyes on them and ask them firmly, they'll have to show you where they hide their gold, and they won't be able to lie to you. So, you get your hands on one, you look them square in the eyes, and tell them to bring you to the treasure before you let them go."
"Wow," said Barry. "I'm going to catch one, and I'm going to get all the gold, and I'm going to buy all the skins for my game, and then all the games, and then all the consoles, and I'm going to play everything, and no one else can share unless they beg me, and even then, I don't have to share, because I'll have all the gold."
"Oh, sounds a mite selfish to me," said Uncle Darren. "But knock yourself out."
The next morning, Barry ran out to the nearby hills.
They were gently sloping for as far as the eye could see, all rich grass and blanketed in pale purple heather flowers that grew nearly to Barry's waist. It was close to how Ireland looked, and Uncle Darren had said it was there, if anywhere, that he would find a leprechaun. He had given Barry very specific instructions, and the boy meant to follow them to the letter. When he got to the heather, he tied a bright red bandana around his head, waved a stick back and forth, and started to shout the words Darren had taught him. Tooraloora hooyaroo! Tooraloora, where are you? He spent all morning in the pale heather flowers, brushing them with the stick and shouting the rhyme. He scared out a lot of bugs, a few birds, and one very angry-looking garter snake, but no sign of a leprechaun. "This isn't working," he huffed. "Uncle Darren must have forgotten to tell me something." Barry hiked home for lunch, scarfed down a sandwich, and found his uncle sitting in a chair on the porch. He was reading a book, and his mug was close at hand. "Uncle Darren," Barry said, "I think you forgot something."
"Oh, did I?" asked Darren, looking up from his book. "Well, what did I forget exactly?"
"Well, how should I know? But I've been out there in the heather whacking shrubs and singing the rhyme all morning, and I still haven't even seen a leprechaun."
Uncle Darren laughed and shook his head.
"Of course, how could I have forgotten? You need a little bit of bait in the trap."
"Bait?" Barry asked. "Like worms for fishing?"
"Just like that. But leprechauns don't much care for worms."
"What do they like?"
"Hold on right here," Uncle Darren said.
He went back into the house and rummaged around, and he came out with a mason jar that had an inch of some foamy black brew in the bottom of it.
"What's that?" Barry breathed in wonder. "Leprechaun bait," Darren said, handing him the jar. "Careful you don't touch it now. It's not good for people, but leprechauns can't get enough of the stuff. Just pour it all out around the flowers there."
"Thanks," Barry said, clutching the jar to his chest. "I'm gonna catch a leprechaun now. I'm gonna get all that gold, and then I'm gonna buy all the french fries and pizza in the world and have it whenever I want, and no one can tell me no, and no one else can have any. Ha ha!"
"Still a little bit selfish, but best of luck, kiddo."
Barry turned and ran back to the rolling hills of heather. Hands shaking with excitement, he unscrewed the jar and hurried back and forth over the hills, letting the foamy potion dribble and drip all over. When it was emptied to the last stubborn drop, he picked up his whacking stick and got right back on the hunt.
"Tooraloora hooyaroo! Tooraloora, where are you?"
He trampled back and forth through the grass and heather flowers, swinging his stick and shouting. And then...
whap!
"Ouch! Are you daft?"
came a strange little voice from the heather. And out staggered a tiny man with a big red beard, all dressed in green.
"You whacked me right on me head there, boy!"
Barry looked, eyes wide. The little man was no taller than Barry's shin and only about as thick as his thumb. All in his red beard and whiskers dripped the foamy black brew. A leprechaun. A real leprechaun! Barry was so surprised he almost forgot to catch it. But just as the leprechaun came to his senses, Barry lunged forward and grabbed him tight around the waist.
"Hey!" the little ferryman shouted. "Let go of me, you Benadonner! You giant bully! May the cat eat you, and may the devil eat the cat!"
Barry stood, remembering his uncle's instructions. He didn't look away, tried to not so much as blink. He kept the leprechaun firmly in his sight and made his demand.
"Leprechaun," he said, "tell me where you're hiding your gold."
The little man wailed and tried to twist, but he couldn't break free of the boy's grip. The wind rolled through the heather in angry breaths, and the smell of the pale purple flowers filled the air. Sunlight poured down like warm summer butter, and Barry felt himself beginning to sweat. He felt it sting at his eyes, but still he wouldn't blink.
"I know your rules," Barry said. "You can't lie to me, and you have to show me where you hide your gold."
The little man stopped fighting and stared up at Barry.
He had bleary black eyes and a strange suit of rich green cloth, cut from 100 different patterns but never clashing. Stripes and polka dots and checks looked right at home next to swirls and swags and houndsteeth.
"Oh, I'll show you me gold, all right. I'll shove it up your nose until your eyes change color."
Barry looked the leprechaun dead in the eyes and felt a jolt of magic. There was a sense of lurching behind his vision, and he could see the image of towering trees growing over a mountain of glittering gold. It wasn't far. Barry could feel it.
"Your gold is close," he said. "Show me where it's hidden."
"It's not far," the leprechaun said. "But you should really look out for the mountain lion behind you."
Barry took a step and then, "Mountain lion?" For an instant, the trick almost worked. Barry started to turn his head and then caught himself at the last minute. There was no mountain lion. There weren't even mountain lions in Barry's whole state. The leprechaun was just trying to get him to look away so he could disappear.
"Nice try, punk," Barry said. "Now lead me to the gold."
"All right then, you sprat," the leprechaun said, heaving a sigh. "A few miles out from here. Just follow me pointing now."
The leprechaun pointed this way and that, leading Barry on a wild maze of a path through the hills. It was only after they passed the same tree for the fifth time that Barry started to catch on.
"Hey, you have to lead me to your gold. I told you to."
"Laddie, if you had brains, you might be dangerous. I am leading you to me gold."
It took Barry a second, but then he realized his mistake.
"Take me directly to your gold. The fastest route possible."
The leprechaun scowled and seemed to point in a direction despite himself. Barry followed, and they crossed over the hills and leapt a shallow stream and wound their way through a thick forest of towering oak trees. After what seemed like forever, the leprechaun pointed straight down at the ground.
"This is it?"
asked Barry, staring at the base of what seemed to be a random oak tree. His eyes were aching and scratchy. He wasn't sure if he had blinked. He wasn't sure if he had blinked in the past hour.
"This is where you keep your gold?"
"Aye, this is it. You found it, you big bully," said the leprechaun, trying his best to fight every word.
"I need to go get a shovel," Barry said. He knew he couldn't keep his eyes open much longer, but he could use the leprechaun's own rules.
"Promise that you won't move your gold while I'm gone."
I promise,"
said the leprechaun. He looked like he wanted to say more, but it was clear the magic held him.
"Good," Barry said. He looked at the tree to memorize it, but it looked just the same as the thousands of oak trees sprawling throughout the forest around him.
Instead, he took off his bright red bandana and tied it to the lowest limb of the tree.
"And you promise that the treasure is here?"
The leprechaun drew an X over his chest with one stubby finger.
"Cross me hard and hope to die. I swear it."
Barry was about to let him go when a sudden thought occurred to him. He had almost missed it.
And promise you won't untie my bandana."
The leprechaun scowled and Barry laughed. He had beaten the little fairy creature's last trick.
"Fine, I promise," scowled the leprechaun. "Now let me go, you wretched almighty oaf."
"Thanks for the treasure," Barry said.
And then he let go of the leprechaun and punted him into the distance with a perfect soccer dropkick.
"Ha! And so long, you big grump."
He blinked his eyes for a moment until they felt normal again, not caring now if the leprechaun disappeared forever. He had the gold. That was all that mattered. Barry sprinted back to his house, a wide and greedy smile plastered onto his face. He burst into the garage and grabbed his mother's gardening shovel and then turned and ran again. His parents and uncle shouted questions after him, but Barry didn't listen.
He didn't have to listen. He was rich. He could pay someone else to listen. And if his parents didn't like it, he'd just buy new parents.
Barry's mind was whirling with all the thoughts on how he'd spend his newly found gold when he crested the hills of heather and leapt the shallow stream and came sprinting into the endless oaks.
"No," he said, falling to his knees. No, 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 it's not fair! You tricked me, you lousy leprechaun! You tricked me!
In front of Barry, the oak trees seemed to stretch forever in all directions, and tied around every single one was a bright red bandana. Barry sat there for a long time, sad, then angry, and then finally, he just had to laugh. The leprechaun had tricked him, just like they'd tricked everyone else. Maybe it was his fault for being so greedy, or maybe it was the dropkick. It was hard to be sure, but Barry knew he'd do better next time. The End.
Today's story, Red Bandanas, was an adaptation of an Irish folktale written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening!
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.